Sin, Faith, and Duty. That's what we'll be talking about today as we get closer to Christmas on our Advent journey. Also, a look at St. James of Nisibis. This is Father Vosgen. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, looking at life through one of the most ancient fabrics of Christianity, namely Armenian Orthodoxy. Episode number 549 of The Next Step is coming your way, and we're inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vosgen. Here, Father Vosgen provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, to disenfranchise members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Yours alone, God, in heaven, exalted and generous, yours is the power and yours forgiveness. Yours is healing, and yours abundance. Lines from a prayer by St. Gregory of Narigatsi, from his Book of Lamentations. I start off today with this short prayer, well, actually an excerpt from a prayer, rather a long prayer, but an excerpt from the prayer, because it brings to focus what our prayer life should be about, and really the problems that we're seeing in the world today is because our prayer life is not about this. And I'm very comfortable saying that about the problems in the world. Everywhere you look, there is one thing that is lacking, a lack of prayer. People who are praying for something better are usually involved in a prayer much like, well, like the season suggests, a Santa Claus list. Give us this, give us that. We need this, we want this. It's very childish, right? You go to the department store and there's a Santa Claus dressed up and you're expected to go and sit on the lap and present your list. I want this, I need that. I need, well, think about it in terms of God. I need a healing. I need financial recovery. I need a reconciliation between families. We have a list, and we pray for these things. Look at St. Gregory of Narigatsi's prayer, Yours alone, God, in heaven, exalted and generous. Yours is the power, and yours forgiveness. Yours is healing, and yours abundance. Listen to the words that are being used. Exalted and generous. A recognition of God where? In heaven. In other words, beyond us and also a part of us. The kingdom of heaven, says God, is inside of us and outside of us. Yours alone, God, in heaven, exalted and generous. Where is that exaltation? Where is that generosity? It's outside of us and it's inside of us. Get where I'm going? Inside of us. That's the part we forget about. It's not a God that's outside of us. A God that's inside and outside of us. Yours is the power and yours forgiveness. The definition of power is in that forgiveness, that ability to forgive. You want to talk about a powerful person? It's the person that is able to forgive. Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who have trespassed against me. Who's the greatest forgiver of all, if not God? And that's the God that we worship. That's the God that we pray to. A God who forgives and gives an example for forgiveness. Our healing begins with forgiveness. Remember, the paraplegic was brought to Jesus, and Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." Wait a minute, hold it. That's not why we brought him. That's not why we brought him, Jesus. Don't you get it? We brought him on this pallet. We brought him because he can't move. His limbs, the muscles are gone. He needs to stand. He's paralyzed. And what? You're saying your sins are forgiven? No, Jesus, you got it wrong. We need him to stand. And Jesus, knowing what was going on in their heads, what does he say? He says, what's easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, rise, take up your pallet and walk? And then he turns to them and he says, okay, that's what you want, rise, pick up your pallet and walk. And immediately, this paraplegic, it says, stood up, took his pallet, and walked. Didn't Jesus know that from the beginning? Why did he say, your sins are forgiven? If he knew that's what you wanted, well, he was into this whole thing about, you guys are looking for these miracles. Don't you get it? That the forgiveness of sins, that your reconciliation with God is above everything else. You have an eternity to live with God. Get straight with God. This past week, we've been praying for different things. I mean, I'm looking out at the world and I'm seeing, wow, so much to pray for. And I think of it in terms of my own personal experiences over the past couple months as we lived with my mom, with her health failing day by day, and the need for prayer. And what is that prayer? When you know that the ultimate prayer is for her peace, her sanctity, do you pray for death? I mean, it's a legitimate question. As strange as it may sound, it's a legitimate question. Do you pray for death? I mean, you're praying for healing, right? Isn't death the ultimate healer of the body? In other words, that body is no longer able to function, hold its own, and the longer it stays alive, the more suffering and pain is measured by that soul. So doesn't it make sense that death is the ultimate solution? Giving that eternal rest to the body and eternal comfort to the soul. Is that something you pray for? Again, I want to repeat Narayagatsi's prayer. Yours alone, God in heaven, exalted and generous. Yours is the power and yours forgiveness. Yours is healing and yours abundance. What is that abundance? What is it that we pray for? Amidst all the other prayers this week, we also had some personal prayers. Like I said, I'm very sensitive to these prayers, especially going through what we went through this past few weeks. This one was quite unusual because we have a very healthy prayer group at our church and directly connected with our Monday night Bible studies. And I know many of you listeners, too, from outside of the area are on that prayer group as well. One of our dear members at the Bible study got up and said, I want prayers for a gentleman named Albert. And we, of course, listened and heard the story, but didn't make the connection until I didn't make the connection until a couple days later when we saw what had happened. Apparently, he was attacked by a homeless man. He was walking down the street of Los Angeles in broad daylight, and a homeless man just pushed him right in front of oncoming traffic, and he was struck down by a truck. And it just points to the decay of what's going on in our society. And yeah, you can cover it up all you want, but this is bizarre. It's bizarre beyond belief that we've come to a day and age where it's impossible to just walk. Think about it. The most basic thing that we have is the ability to walk. And now it's impossible to walk without fear of being hit, mowed down, pushed, shoved. In other words, violence. And we cover it up. We cover it up. Violence begets violence. And we're okay with this. We just want more and more of it. We ask for it. We see it in politics. We see it throughout the world, not only here in the United States, throughout the world. And it's just like unbridled violence. I guess there is bridled violence, right? You have violence when it takes place, when you're protecting rights and doing something. This is unbridled. Guy's just walking down the street and he's pushed out into traffic. Anyway, he is in serious condition in the hospital. There is a GoFundMe page, and I will direct you to that in our show notes. Please do check it out. And if you're inclined to donate, it's a worthwhile cause, especially now during Christmas time. We're also doing a fundraiser via In His Shoes, and you're welcome to earmark a donation to In His Shoes, and it'll directly go to the family to help out a sole breadwinner. And interestingly enough, indirectly, we knew of this man because his kids had offered, you know, we're doing a huge toy drive throughout Glendale, and we have boxes at many of the merchants, and his kids were people who had accepted the box, and the box was at their shop. And tragically, this happened like a few days ago. And so, as I was saying, we were praying, but we hadn't put it together that this was the person for whom we were praying. I mean, we didn't know the details what happened, which is, again, the question. What do we pray for? Is it important to have specifics? And that's why I pointed you to this prayer, this excerpt from a prayer from St. Gregory of Nottingham. Yours alone, God, in heaven, exalted and generous. Yours is the power and yours forgiveness. Yours is healing and yours abundance. What are you praying for there? Well, if you think about it, you're actually using some very powerful words, right? Forgiveness, power, healing, and abundance. All these words are there. What are you praying for? You're praying to release it. You're praying to turn it over to God. You're praying to trust God. You're praying to have faith in God. And that's going to tie in exactly with this week of Advent. My lesson today is about this week in Advent. What do we get out of it? I'm going to read to you before we go to the song, and then we'll go into some of that, as well as a little story about the saint that we commemorate during this week, Saint James of Nisibis, Sur Pagop Mutzbana Hairabed. But I want to share with you the reading. If you remember, last week we talked about the big banquet as being part of the Advent lessons. Today's lesson comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, and it is the one prescribed for this coming Sunday in the lectionary, okay? It says, Jesus said to his disciples, occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to anyone by whom they come. It would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea than for you to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If another disciple sins, you must rebuke the offender. And if there is repentance, you must forgive. And if the same person sins against you seven times a day and turns back to you seven times and says, I repent, you must forgive. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. The Lord replied, if you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave, who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, come here at once and take your place at the table? Would you not rather say to him, prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink? Later you may eat and drink. Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done. Wow, interesting reading. You want some explanation about that? I certainly do. And I'm ready to share it with you. An armodoxy, Armenian Orthodox perspective to it. Because it's pretty intense when you think about it. Jesus here was talking about some very, very important things in our lives. About healing. What we ask for. He talks about sin. He talks about faith. He talks about duty. Yeah, let's take it on that triad, okay? Sin, faith, and duty. That's what we'll talk about today. I'm going to take a break right now. We'll play the song of the day for you to kind of like take it all in. And then when we come back, we'll go into that as well as St. James of Nisibis. Surpagop Matspana Hairabed. Well, here's the selection I have for you today. A little Blind Boys from Alabama to get us in the spirit of the season. Enjoy.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain.
Lord, help me.
Show me the way.
go tell it on the mountain, of course. Where else are you going to tell? Where else are you going to herald this news? Tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. What a beautiful song. Hope you enjoyed that. Gets us in the spirit, right? Is there a better Advent song than that preparation song? Go tell it on the mountain. Blind Boys of Alabama, the artists of that song. I think it is an old-time Christmas carol. I've heard it done, not as exciting as this. But it begs the question, right? If you've got some good news, what do you do with it? Do you just hold it to yourself, or do you get out there and you proclaim it? And basically, you're understanding where evangelism comes from and what the entire evangelical movement is about. And of course, it brings other issues too. But that's a topic for another podcast, one which I'm sure we've done somewhere along the last 11 years. But for right now, I hope you enjoyed that song, Go Tell It on the Mountain, performed by the Blind Boys of Alabama on their Christmas album. We will put a link on today's show notes so you could check out all of their wonderful music. Great stuff. Hope you enjoyed this one. We are in a period called Advent, and as I've been sharing with you last few weeks, we've been talking about preparation, getting ready for Christ. When we say Merry Christmas, I know we have all kinds of people who get bent out of shape about saying Happy Holidays. We don't say Christmas. We need to say Christmas. Yeah, that's all well and fine. I agree. There's a concerted effort to do it with Christmas. But you know what? It's not the fight that I want to fight. It's not the battle that I want to be engaged in. You know, if you want to call it holidays, I'll go with that, right? Holidays, it's a holy day. Yeah, I'll go with that. To me, these words are secondary to the feelings. What do we understand by Christmas? What does it mean to say that Jesus Christ is born? How does that affect us in our lives? Is that relevant? There's the question of relevancy that we ask. And so if it becomes relevant, then yes, you do shout out. On the mountaintops, you do shout out that yes, Jesus Christ is born. You do shout out Merry Christmas. So let's begin this way, okay? This coming Sunday, I read to you the Bible passage, the lectionary reading for this Sunday. It comes from Luke chapter 17. A day before is the feast day of St. James of Nisibis in Armenian Surpagop Mtspana Hayrabed. Sometimes he's known as the Skanchelakords, or the Wonder Worker. The patriarch, the wonder worker patriarch. Let me tell you a little bit about him because it's important. There is a tie-in with today's reading that we shared. St. James of Nisibis was not really sure what his exact dates were, but it's somewhere, he's a 4th century personality. Oh, aren't they all, right? All the big ones, all the heavyweights are all 4th century people. It's interesting. You know what? As a pastor, I did pastoring for 36 years, and I always made a point of celebrating name days. So if it was a name day, if your name was Hagop, which is a very, very popular name among Armenians, this would be your name day. In English, it goes to James. Not sure how the connection is. It's Hagop is really Jacob, Jacob. So anyway, I would make a point of congratulating all the Hagops in my parish, as I did with some of the other feast days. Of course, St. Mary's feast day was my favorite because there are so many variations on St. Mary. Not only the Mariams and the Miriams, but there's also the Serpuhis and the Makruhis and the Iskuhis, the Diruhis, and so on and so on. But among the men, it's interesting that there are four within the Armenian culture, and none of them are Armenian. One is St. James, Surpagop. He was an Assyrian. The other one is St. Kevork, or St. George. Another is St. Sarkis. I think he's Roman. And, of course, the big one, St. Gregory the Illuminator, the patron saint of the Armenian Church. Well, he was a Parthenian, you know. It's like they're not Armenian, but somehow Armenians have adopted, and we've taken these names, are very, very popular among Armenian men. Gregory, Sarkis, Gevorg, and today we remember St. James, Surpagop, Mutspana Haydabet. Okay, let me tell you a little bit about him. He's a 4th century personality. There were many Assyrians that were living in Greater Armenia at the time, and he was one of the 318 participants of the First Ecumenical Council. And where was that? Of course, in Nicaea, 323. So this is some, 20 years after Christianity has been accepted in Armenia, 22 years after Armenia's conversion to Christianity. It's about a good decade after the Roman Empire accepted Christianity. And here it is, 323 or 325. He is in Nicaea at the council, and he was one of the representatives there speaking on behalf of the church. He was known for mostly for his virtuous, and he had a very pious life. In fact, they called him, as I said, the Skanchelakords, or wonder worker, because of the many, many miracles that he had done and are associated with him. But think about this, and this is the tie-in with today's reading. If you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. I bring this up because we talk about these ancient saints. Yeah, they are ancient. Yeah, very ancient, right? We talk about these guys as being wonder workers. And you have to wonder. Yes, you have to wonder about the wonder worker. What was wonderful about these miracles that they did? What were they? I mean, truly, to the word wonder, like were they incredible miracles? Did they actually plant a mountain from uproot a mountain and place it in the sea, or take a tree and move it into the ocean? Did they really do that? Or was it this faith the size of a mustard seed that was pure, unadulterated, that was sincere, that was causing them to do the will of God? And that's why I brought up St. Gregory of Nodeg's prayer, because listen to it again. I'm going to repeat this. It's so beautiful. Yours alone, God, in heaven, exalted and generous. Yours is the power and yours forgiveness. Yours is healing and yours abundance. What's it talking about? Yours! Turning it over to God. Completely relinquishing. A place where ego cannot survive. What did we find in our reading today? Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep, Jesus says. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come, sit, eat? Rather, wouldn't he say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? I mean, we can't relate to this too much today because we don't have servants, we don't have slaves, but you get the idea. You get the idea that there's a guy, he is hired, he is paid to serve the master. That's what? That's his job. And what's Jesus saying? You don't thank somebody for doing their job. So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, Jesus says, you should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. The Armenian to that is beautiful. I mean, it just strikes up some good chords, doesn't it? your duty. It's your responsibility. And when you think of it in those terms, ego has no place. This story, this portion about duty, is about ego and losing it in the sight of God. We are all servants of God. We have all come into this world as a gift. We've been given this gift of life. The kingdom of God is inside of us. God resides in us. We have the ability to impact, to touch, and be united with this world. This is it. You have it within you. Wherever you are, whatever condition you're at, God is living inside of you. What a beautiful gift. The faith of a mustard seed, tiny, it's relinquishing. Because that faith, that mustard seed, as small as it is still bigger than the ego when it is suppressed. That's what you're called to do. That's what this sentence is about. So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. Isn't that what's required of us from God? You've been given life. What is our duty? Enjoy that life. Share that life. Help one another. Love one another. Be the disciples of Christ as Christ commanded us. By loving, by sharing, by caring. There it is. So what happens all of a sudden? We start understanding that you want your prayers to be answered. Start answering them by releasing, by giving it to God. The power of the Naregatsi prayers, not just the one that I shared with you, of all of his prayers, is that he releases. He gives it to God. And in so doing, he's now trusting God. He's showing absolute faith in God. And when you do that, ego is gone. Because what do? We do just the opposite. We trust ourselves. We don't trust anybody else. We can do it. I can do it. And you know what's interesting is when you sit around and you count how many times somebody says I and me, it's very interesting. You know, I'm not making a judgment statement because we all do it. It's part of being human, right? You have that pronoun in the vocabulary. You use it, right? We all do it. But it's interesting when you count on certain people, you get an idea of what they're all about. I did this. Me. Okay. Where does God fit in? He can't. God can't fit in that equation. Yours alone, God, in heaven, exalted and generous. Yours is the power and yours forgiveness. Yours is healing and yours abundance. St. James of Nisibis, called a wonder worker, was it because he was doing all of these miracles, or was it more like in tune with he had relinquished, he had given it to God? Our faith, and this is the message that we take as we prepare ourselves during Advent, our faith begins by obedience to God. If you look at the entire cycle of Advent, it's a time of preparation for Christmas. It's a time for us to renew ourselves. And each of the messages of the Sundays prepares us for that in a unique way. Jesus says today, do not ask, do not thank the servant. Why? Because he is doing what is commanded. So you also, when you have done all that is commanded of you, what do you need to say? We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. It points to the obedience of God in duty-filled life. Now, this is obviously exactly the opposite of what the church emphasizes, right? Because what do? We say that, okay, if you've done a good job, come over here and we'll applaud you. If you've done a good job, come and we will give you recognition. We will give you awards. We will give you medals of honor. We will seat you in the good places. All you need to do is come and do what is required of you. That's it. You need to share some of that wealth. If you share that wealth over here, we've got some good prizes for you. Behind curtain number one. Or is it behind curtain number two? Perhaps behind curtain number three. The medals of honors. The diplomas. The applause. People appreciating you. And what does God say? When you do something, do it in secret so people won't know. So God can reward you. And I've shared with you, this is a very big, 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 big dilemma, especially when we work so hard to raise funds. And sometimes you need people to know. You need people to know that others are doing it so they feel comfortable doing it. And so the balance of putting out publicity, of letting people know, is a very crucial one. And in all things that you do, you got to make sure that the applause for God isn't less than the applause for you. In other words, you need to make sure that the glory goes to God to release. Because when you think about it, it's very much like children, right? We were talking earlier about the prayer life that we have. Many times as children, we make these lists. It's a Santa Claus-like prayer. And Jesus directs us just the opposite. Really, release it. Give it to God. Well, also duty and responsibility is very, we approach it as children, right? Children do things for rewards. It's just natural, right? And we condition them like that too. You do something good and mommy and daddy give you a favor. Right? You may get an extra piece of dessert. You may get to go to a party. You may get to do something that's out of the ordinary. And so, too, we do that, too. We are conditioned to give. And if you give, you get, you know, awards. There was he never liked the word televangelist, and I won't call him that, excuse me. But I'm using it as a point of reference, okay? So you can refer to the concept. But he was Gene Scott, and you can probably look him up. I know his wife continues the ministry. But he made a very important point. He would not take donations. It was very interesting. He says, "You're learning something from me. I'm teaching you. I'm not going to take donations, because if you take donations, I'm a nonprofit and I give you a reward by you get to take it off of your taxes. No, you're learning something, and much like an education, you give to me. If you believe in it, you pay my salary, you give me what you are going to give without an expectation in return." And he had an incredible ministry. I used to enjoy watching him. There was a lot of theatrics, too, as far as what he, in the way he delivered. But I got to tell you, he had a lot of content, too. There was a lot of good content. And in the same way, when we give, a lot of times our churches make it popular to give by rewarding you. It doesn't work like that, right? Think about mothers and fathers. Most of the time, they provide home, they provide food. Usually, you don't thank them. They do it out of responsibility. They have a sense of responsibility. We don't provide homes and food for our children because we're looking for thanks, but because there's a responsibility. You brought children into this world, you got a responsibility. Well, why would it be different for God? He knows he has a responsibility to us. He brought us into this world. And so he's given us a road to salvation. Think about it just in those simple terms. God is not reneging on his responsibility. He's given us the best. And so there is no difference in our response to him. We should be able to say that we have a responsibility to God. We are given certain commandments as obligations. We are called as a people, we are called as people, really, more so than Christians, to fulfill those obligations. And these obligations are to God. We reach our obligations to God by having obligations and responsibilities to our fellow men, to our churches, to our communities. In today's gospel, Jesus says we must complete those obligations, these responsibilities, without care or regard for our personal reward. And it is so tempting. It is so tempting to seek those rewards because we're given that throughout our life. Throughout our life, we've given opportunities to seek those rewards. Okay, so I did tell you that there was 3 points out of that gospel that I wanted to make. One was about sin, faith, and duty. We talked about duty. We talked a little bit about faith in the context of St. James of Nisibis. Let me finish it by that, the last point, and that was sin. It's actually in order. It's the first one, Luke chapter 17. Jesus says, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. And this is a very, very difficult one for me, because as a priest, as someone who teaches, and especially I've escalated my teaching by saying, okay, I have something to offer. I want to go tell it on the mountains. I don't want to keep it to myself. And so we open the doors by preaching vis-a-vis these podcasts, vis-a-vis our writings. And now all of a sudden there's an extra pressure on you because you've basically contracted. You've said that, okay, I'm out here. I'm going to be sharing this stuff. And what does Jesus say? Well, be careful. Woe to anyone through whom people stumble. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves. Don't take people to stumbling. That's a heavy-duty order, to say the least. God is calling us in a very unique way as priests to continue our ministry. And guess what? As priests, before the garment goes on underneath, we are human beings. And so it's a very, very unusual situation where we have human beings that have this responsibility, added responsibility. And Jesus tells us, better take it seriously. If not, you might as well take a millstone, wrap it around your neck, and toss yourself off. It's there. And he says, so watch yourself. He continues on about sin, and this is where we got to remember this part. It's very important. He says, if your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. Now, this whole idea of forgiveness, I've shared with you many times. In fact, it's a cornerstone to the Inner Shoes ministry because it begins with forgiveness. It begins with understanding that God that is residing inside of us. And that God inside of us demands that forgiveness because inside of us, he is forgiving, right? I mean, think about everything we talked about today. The inside and the outside, the God, the forgiveness, the duty. It all comes together, right? Are you with me right now? I hope you are, because this is wild. I mean, I wish I had a way of diagramming this for you right now. It's like circles that are inclusive of other circles and universes and everything coming together, but there it is for you. God inside of us. And God forgives. And Jesus says, if your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them. So, let me share with you something really important. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you and say, I repent, you must forgive them. It's about forgiveness. And that's what I want to share with you. That we all sin. Every one of us who are not God. In other words, every one of us that is speaking in front of this microphone right now, as well as everyone who is listening, because none of us are God, we sin. and we are in need of forgiveness. Now, this is what I wanted to share. If you ask for forgiveness, consider it given to you. Because God is forgiven. God is telling us right here, if they sin against you 7 times in a day, 7 times come back to you and say, I repent, you must forgive them. You must forgive because God has forgiven you. And be certain of that. Be certain and be confident of that. That's difficult because most of the forgiveness that we need is forgiving ourselves. We are self-blaming creatures. We look inward, especially people that are listening to this podcast, because to listen to this podcast, you have to be a little bit more concerned about concerned about things more than the football game. I'm saying not about the football game, but more than the football game, right? The baseball game, whatever it may be, about your fishing expedition. Yes, about your science project too. You're thinking about things that are at the foundation of existence. Why are we here? What are we doing here? What's our relationship with a creator, with something, with a higher energy than ourselves? And God is telling you, you are forgiven. He gave us this promise on the cross. We did not know what we were doing when we put Christ on the cross. He looked down and he said, Father, forgive them. We did not ask for forgiveness. Don't wait for somebody to ask. Just forgive. And what happens is all of a sudden you realize that that ego is gone. And what happens when that ego is gone? Guess what fills in its place? God. Our egos are so big sometimes that God can't fit in. Yeah, we say he's inside of us. But where's he going to fit in? Where's he going to fit in? We're all consuming. We're all huge, giant, inflated, blown up egos. Let the air out. And let God fill you up. Preparation for Christmas, Advent. We are in the season of Advent. This is the lesson for today. In this week, I've forgotten. I've lost count of which week it is. All I know is we're getting closer to Christmas. And I hope that you appreciated this message that comes to us from the Church Fathers. Take a break right now. Listen to what Susie has to say. I'll be back with some information about what's going on in the next few weeks.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that beautiful announcement, and thank you for your beautiful letters. Your expressions of condolence, your sentiments, your strength, your support, I have appreciated them so much. And I do share them with my family. Thank you so much for all of the love you've sent our way during this, I want to call it this period of transition as we appreciate the life of my mother and we celebrate it. and I'm glad I had a chance. I think it was very cathartic for me this past 2 weeks to do those last two podcasts with you, and I appreciate you so much because it was a place where I was able to process. And believe me, when you have a death in the family, you know, like it or not, there is a bunch of duties, obligation that go along with it, and it keeps you busy. It's just busy work that you have to do, including paperwork, including arrangements and everything. So in a sense, sitting in front of the microphone for those last two sessions, those were very, very therapeutic for me, and I appreciate all of your well wishes as well as just your listenership being there for me. So thank you and God bless you. Let me tell you about a few things that are coming up in the next few weeks. This Sunday, the Feast of St. James of Nisibis, and I will be at the St. James Armenian Church in Los Angeles, where we will be sharing the worship and the prayers with Bishop Armash from Damascus. He's going to be the celebrant and will be serving at the altar. So looking forward, if you happen to be in the area, do stop by. And always, as I tell you, whenever you're there, make sure you stop by and say hello as well. Let me know you're a listener. I always appreciate meeting listeners. Coming up in the next week, we do have that situation that I shared with you about the need for prayers for Albert. If you are inclined to make a donation, you can do it vis-a-vis the In His Shoes website. Just earmark it for Albert and we'll make sure that it gets there. Also on today's show notes, do check out today's show notes. We will have the GoFundMe page on there as well, so you can do it that route too. And I don't want to tell you which way to go. Whatever works for you, that would be fine. Coming up during the Christmas season, we have a huge toy drive. There'll be a link on today's show notes. You can participate via Amazon, and you can send toys. These are toys to children of domestic violence. Sometimes all too frequently forgotten in the mix of all the court and all the social activities that happen around their parents. These kids are forgotten, so we're earmarking them. That's the In His Shoes toy drive. Finally, we are going to buy some donkeys. Yeah, we're going to buy some donkeys out for the refugees in Darfur. And of course, our dear friend Gabriel and his group, IACT, they're doing some great, great work. And if you would like to be a participant of those donkeys, if you'd like to buy a donkey in Armenian, can't resist but saying, if you want to get an esh, this is the time to do it for Christmas. These go a long way, especially in the refugee camps, and they are priced at $150. We'd be happy to purchase one, and it becomes your gift for Christmas to these people in need. Of course, always in reference for me, I always have to reference the gift that Christ wanted for Christmas. Give to people who have no way of giving you in return. There it is. So we're just doing it. Got a lot of stuff going on. If you are not on our In His Shoes mailing list, you may be missing out on some of this. Make sure you drop us a line at feedback@apostle.net. Epostle, that's apostle with an E. That's apostolic evangelism for an electronic universe. Feedback@apostle.net. Drop us a line. Give us your email. We'll be happy to put you on the list. Make your donations at innershoes.org. Any way you want to get in touch with us, we're on all kinds of social media and just about everywhere. So do stay in touch. I want to thank you for joining us today. We'll call it a day. And thank you on behalf of our producer, Susie. On behalf of our technical advisor, Ken, this is Father Voskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
This is the reason of the season.